Tremendous. Thank you, Mercy, for that. Amen.
We so appreciate those who are involved in this ministry. One other thing I want to mention to you before we move on to the subject today, and that is in the back of the auditorium, I noticed we still have some copies of Charisma. As you know, we are winding down our 100th year anniversary for the Assemblies of God. This is a great little publication. It's free. You don't have to pay anything for it. But this, especially if you're rather new to the Assemblies of God and you want to know about our background, our history, and everything, this has got a lot of real interesting information in it. And some of the ministries we mentioned from week to week here are highlighted in this magazine. But Charisma is not a magazine of the Assemblies of God. It's actually a magazine that features the work of the Holy Spirit in various denominations around the world. It just so happened they dedicated this issue to the Assemblies of God because it's our anniversary, 100th anniversary year. So if you haven't got a copy, every family should at least have one copy because it'll be good for you to kind of bring yourself up to date on what's going on in the Assemblies of God and what we're all about. And also it's good for kids in your family and help them understand what their identity is through the ministries of the church. So I mentioned that too. I think there's still some copies back there on the back table. Take advantage of that. We've provided them for you. We have been discussing various subjects and topics with respect to Christ and his ministry. We mentioned the fact that he's referred to as the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. In a world that needs peace, we need to acknowledge the fact that there is one Prince of Peace who has come. He came to seek and to save the lost. And as you heard in that little quiz this morning, how the quizzers brought out, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so we're honoring... Thanks, son. My wife's over there coaching me. And I'll tell you, every man needs a good woman, I'll tell you. We recognize that there are many, many facets of the ministry of Christ, and they're brought out in the Word of God. And I've referred you to the passage found in Isaiah. And I thought this morning, this being Bible Sunday, that would be good to focus on this aspect of Christ and his ministry. I want to speak on the subject, Jesus Christ, the Word sent from God. The Word sent from God. The Scripture, it's interesting. When we think of the Word, if I mention to you, we're going to be talking about words. Words are an expression of an individual. You are known oftentimes by your word. Oftentimes, you'll remember what a person said, even after you've kind of forgotten what they look like exactly, but you'll remember what was said. It's amazing the power of words that are spoken. It's true. You are known by your words and what you've said. And some people have uttered some words that ring throughout history as being famous, you know, and we memorize these. And if I were to quote a few to you this morning, you'd say, "Oh, I know who said that." And you'd identify with a place and a time, perhaps, or some momentous event. I shall return, you know, and things like that. People say these things. They don't have to say a lot. They just say a few words, and we remember. Oh, let's see, who said that? What was the incident? And the power of words. The interesting thing about Jesus Christ is that we identify his personality and his person with not only with words spoken, but he himself. He is described as the living word, or the word sent from God. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, that could mean anything, but then it goes on to clarify it, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we see that the word spoken of here in John's gospel speaks of the word as being a person, and that he is the expression of God. As words express what our desires are, what our needs are, what our wants are, Jesus expresses to us. It shows us what God is like. He is the Word. John 1:14 goes on to say, if you move down through that chapter, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here we see where the Word is personified in the person of Jesus. The Word became flesh. And so just as Jesus is the Prince of Peace and He's called many things, He's described in many ways in Scripture, all kinds of phrases to describe the works of Christ. One of the major concepts we have from Scripture is that He is the living Word. He is the Word of God, the Word of God. I want to share a few things this morning with you on this concept of Jesus Christ, the Word sent from God. Christ is the creative Word. Christ is the creative Word. Psalms 33:6 says this, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's a lot of discussion how we got this world, and we have a whole science dedicated to the origins of the earth and how it came about and how old it is, and are you a young earth theorist or are you an old earth theorist? How old do you think the earth is? It's interesting. The fact of the matter is that the world as we know it was created by God. Some say, well, it was a big bang, or there was matter and energy, and you wind up with thinking that matter and energy are eternal. Well, I like to think that there's something more than just matter and energy. I don't know if I want to worship matter and energy. I want to worship the Creator that's got personality, you know. And the Scripture says that the world as we know it, it was by the word of the Lord that the heavens were made. All the things that were created were brought about by His breath. You speak forth. And we read in Genesis that God spoke. And just simply by speaking, things were created. Created out of nothing. Nothing. Now this boggles the mind, and our science can't deal with that because, you see, we have to have something. We analyze things. You have to have something to analyze. You got to have an object or a thing or something to analyze, no matter what it is. And this whole concept of coming up with, how do you come up with something out of nothing? You got to have something to create. Mankind needs something to use to create other things. We don't just create out of nothing. We create out of things that already are. So to say that God created out of nothing, that defies logic, human reasoning. One of the challenges that our young people have whether they're in high school or college is when they get in classrooms where they're required to take exams that espouse the rudiments and the fundamentals of evolutionary theory, the idea that you got to have something. When you have something, then you can create something else. And so you can see what the difficult task it is for a young person who attends a school where they're espousing this. And the student believes the Word of God. The Word of God says that things were created out of nothing. God spoke, and that's what created it. That's what created it. And we find that in John's Gospel, it says that the Word, the living Word that is being spoken of, that Word was in the beginning. It's speaking of Christ. And wouldn't you know it, Christ was involved in the creative process. Christ, the creative Word. In Psalm 51:10, the psalmist, he prays this prayer. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Well, you know, if Jesus is the creative Word and He created the universe, He can change your life. Just think about it. People say, why should I serve Christ? It's because He can do what you can't do. How many people have tried to change their ways? How many people have made promises to themselves? How many New Year's resolutions are going to be made in a few weeks? You know, they made resolutions last year, a lot of people have, and then 1 or 2 weeks into the new year, they blew it, you know. they're going to go off sweets, or they're going to go on a regimented diet, you know, or they're going to do better at work or something. And before you know it, you know, they're back to their old habits again. It's very difficult for you to radically change your life. Now, some people have done a pretty good job in some areas of life, But you can't really change your life with respect to morality and where you're headed as you face eternity. There's only one way that can be changed, and it takes the Creator. If God can create the universe out of nothing just by speaking it into existence, what do you think He can do with you? He can do a lot. Say, I don't know, it seems impossible. I'm having a tough time changing this area of my life. Listen, God can do it. If He can bring things into existence out of nothing, regardless of what it is, He can do it. Now, is He going to do it? I don't know. But I know He can do it. See, I'm not God. Sometimes we like to play God, and we try to force God's hand and say, no, God, you got to do this. God doesn't have to do anything. Bottom line, he does not have to do anything. But the thing is, God is true to His word. He's true to His promises. He operates according to the limitations He has placed upon Himself. You know, God cannot lie. Things like that. See, if God can do anything, then He can lie. No, He can't. Why? Because He's got certain parameters. His holiness demands that He can't lie. And God is true to His word. And God can do things that are beyond your imagination. And so the psalmist can cry out. He was having a tough time changing his life, and he realized there was sin in his life. There were things he was doing that were inappropriate. They were wrong. They were violating God's law. And so he calls out to God in desperation. He says, oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Creator God can do that. He can do that. Well, Christ is not only the creative word. Christ is the healing word. I love that passage. It says in Psalm 107 in verses 19 and 20, says this. It says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. And then I love this word. I quote oftentimes to myself when I think about the power of God, the fact that we have the healing word. It says, He sent His word and healed them. Think of it. The power of the word. The healing word. Christ, the healing word. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. There's power. I'll tell you, there's power. When God speaks, things begin to happen. When God speaks, there are times when it seems like God is silent, but listen, when God speaks, things happen. The Word of God and the power of it. I think of the example that we have reading that verse. He sent His Word and healed them. Of the centurion, you'll find it in Matthew, the 8th chapter. And if you recall the story, the centurion had a servant who was ill. He was gravely ill. And so a centurion, Jesus is ministering. And in his ministries, the centurion hears that Jesus is in the neighborhood. And so he goes and he looks him up and he comes to Jesus. And he tells him about this servant of his that's ill, desperately ill. And so, you know, Jesus said, well, then I'll come. I'll come to your house. And then here's the response of the centurion. The centurion in verse 8 of Matthew 8 says this. He says, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. He felt, you know, unworthy because this is Jesus, and who many believed was the Messiah. And He was healing people and doing great things. He says, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. But then he said this, but just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled at the faith of that man. You know, some of us, we need to just hear the word of the Lord. We just need to have Jesus say the word. When Jesus says the word, it'll be done. Maybe it hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. Some of you have been praying for something for a while. You keep pressing in. Have the faith of the centurion. Jesus marveled at that. He said the centurion had such faith. He said, you can just say the word. And Jesus saw something in the centurion's heart that He didn't see in everybody's heart. A lot of people demanded the presence of Jesus to get something done. And this man said, oh, no. He says, I'm a man of authority, and I know how it works. He says, I have those under me, under my authority, and I just tell them, do this, and they go and they do it. Come to me, and they'll come to me. He says, I have authority. They'll do what I say. All I have to do is say it. I don't have to do anything else but say it. And he says, and you can do the same. Just say the word. Sometimes we look for God's move in our life, and sometimes it's a healing touch we need, and that's what we need. We need God to just speak the word of healing. We need him to speak the word. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. I want to encourage you. You press in. You be persistent with God. Don't give up. Just because you haven't seen it happen yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. No, you believe the Lord. Believe the word of the Lord. Trust God. It may not happen in your time, but God has a timetable. God has a divine purpose. We don't always understand it. It's as if we see things through a glass darkly, as the apostle says. We can't make it out fully. We know God is there. We know God is active, but we can't make it all out. And that's where we're at sometimes. Don't let that discourage you. Don't let it affect your faith. You hang on to God. Trust God. Ask the Master to just speak the word. Speak the word. And in verse 13 of that same chapter says, and Jesus said to the centurion, go. It shall be done for you as you have believed. And then the next sentence is this, and the servant was healed at that very moment. Why was he healed? Did he all of a sudden just take a turn for the better? Under natural? No. It's because at that moment, Jesus said, it shall be. It shall be. And when he said that, in that moment, the healing word went forth. Christ is the healing word sent from God. And that's part of the privilege you have as a child of God. You can trust God. You can believe God. Don't be discouraged. In our materialistic, humanistic society today, tries to cause people to just rely on what is seen and what is tangible. Listen, you can believe on the unseen hand of God that he will come and minister to you. Let your faith lift you up. Rise above what the world says can't be and believe God for what they say is impossible. Believe God. Let God speak the word of healing to you. Let God speak the word of deliverance to you. Then I think of Christ. He's the word that's filled with grace. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Full of grace. Now, what does that mean? Why is that important for you this morning? It's important because, believe it or not, some of you might be surprised at this, but you don't deserve anything based on your good looks. I know that's a shock to some of you, but hang in there with me. Well, I just thought I was the best thing, you know. It's not because of your good looks. It's not because of the family you were born into. But you know what? You're precious in the sight of the Lord. God loves you just the way you are. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Because if you were to examine yourself, we all could do that. Even those who've been serving the Lord a long time. And I'm sure all of us, we can all find something in us that we still find is discouraging and we don't like. There are probably some things about us that aren't like Christ, you know. And it bothers us when we think about it, the holiness of God. All of us can find something like that. How is it that God still loves us so much? It's because of that little word, grace. It's grace. Full of grace, he came to us. The word came to us full of grace. It wasn't condemnation. It wasn't hate. It wasn't judgment. It was the love and grace of God. How could that be? because there's nothing really in your life that's worthy of it. Simply because God is God. He's a God of love. And God cares about you, and He loves you. He loves you. You might find yourself at a point where you think nobody in the world loves you, but there'll always be someone, and that's God. You'll never really truthfully be able to say nobody loves you, because God does love you, and He cares about you. He sees where you're at. He knows what you're going through. Why? I don't understand it. No matter how much I might try, I don't have the capacity to love like God loves. I don't have the capacity to give grace. Oh, I might be able to do it 99 times out of 100, but there'll always be that time when it'll be insufficient. I'll fall short. But God, 100% of the time, He's full of grace. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve to live in a heaven with Him, pure and holy because of the presence of Almighty God. But yet you're going to be there one day. You serve the Lord. All your faults and failures, you're not going to get there because of your goodness. You're going to get there because of His goodness. You're going to get there because of His holiness. You're going to get there because of His grace. His grace. Nobody really deserves to live in heaven for eternity. But God is full of grace. And so He sent the word, the healing word. He sent the delivering word. He sent that word of full of grace. And so that's why we can say to the world, that's why we send missionaries out, because we have a message not that's going to condemn people to an eternal hell. We send missionaries forth with a message of grace. There's a God in heaven who cares about you. There's a God in heaven who loves you. There's a God in heaven who wants to forgive you if you'll only turn to Him. We've said it many times, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People go to hell because they've rejected the grace offered by a loving God. He's full of grace. Full of grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Talk about Christmas and the whole practice of giving gifts. How appropriate it is, this passage from Ephesians. It is the gift of God. Grace. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we, and I love this 10th verse, we don't always go on to read the 10th verse. We'll when we quote this passage, oftentimes we quote verses 8 and 9. But notice the verse that follows, the verse that says it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It goes on to say this in verse 10, and it's a reason, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." In other words, the reason we're receiving this grace and the purpose behind God is so that the handiwork of God can be seen in our lives. See, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. God wants your life to radiate good works, which God prepared beforehand, notice the last phrase, so that we would walk in them. We're saved by grace so that we might walk in the goodness of God. And when we walk in the grace of God, others will see that. They'll acknowledge that. And guess what? Their lives will be affected by it. You know, the fact is, your life is affected by the lives of others. Think how many times you got angry over something and it really was because of someone. Think how many times you were all of a sudden filled with joy and laughter and it was because of someone, really. We're affected by the lives of others. And God wants us to walk in the grace. He says we're created in Christ And we're designed so that we would walk in the grace that he's provided. That was prepared a long time ago. Prepared a long time ago for those who love God. He's not only the Christ that is filled with grace, he's described as the Christ who is the living word of truth. He's full of grace and truth. You know, Jesus himself claimed that he was the truth. In John 17:3, think of it. John is praying to his heavenly Father. And who's he praying for? He's praying for his followers, his disciples, and those who believed in him. And so Jesus is now in the garden. If you read the high priestly prayer in John 17, that's Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father just prior to his death at Calvary. And he's praying for them. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the agony he's going to face. And he's feeling somewhat, you know, that sense of what's going to happen to the disciples. What's going to happen to the followers when he leaves? Because he knows how dependent they are on him. So he's praying for them in the garden. And notice what he says about that. John 17, verse 3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." He's speaking of himself. "And Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And then he goes on to say in verse 6, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Your word. How important is the word? It's very important. Jesus is speaking as the living word of God. He's talking about himself and his relationship with his disciples. He's praying for his disciples. He's the living word of truth. And he says, "Father," he says, "the reason why I know it's worth praying for them is because they've kept the word you've given me, the word I've shared with them, the living word of God." He says, "They have kept your word." And then later on in that chapter, down in verse 17, he says this. He says, "Sanctify them in the truth." And then he goes on to say, "Your word is truth." He is the living word, full of grace and truth. What a beautiful picture you see that, how it's all brought together in the person. See, do you understand now why you can't have Christmas without Christ? He is the embodiment, the full embodiment of what our Heavenly Father designed from before time began. He was there in the creative process. He is the expression of God. He is God, and he's the expression of the Father. "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He mentioned that. He said, that's how you know what your Heavenly Father is like. He's the expression. He's like the breath of God. He's like the words. He's the living word of God. It's all embodied in Christ. You cannot really celebrate and experience the joy of Christmas without Christ. I feel sorry for people who want a Christless Christmas. All they want to do is give gifts to each other. Those gifts aren't going to last. Those gifts aren't going to take you through eternity. Those gifts one day are going to rust or get broken or decay or fall apart or whatever, or have to be replaced. Anything man touches eventually is going to be gone. The only thing that's going to last is what God has created, the work of Christ in a life. That will last. Full of grace and truth. Jesus reigns not only as the Prince of Peace, but also as the living Word of God. He is God the Father's gift to us, given so that we may know and experience the love, grace, and truth of our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the wonderful Counselor, says His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's that wonderful counselor. And what does a counselor do? He advises and helps one. He comes alongside. And you need that kind of counseling? Most of us do. I need it. I need the wonderful counselor to come and and minister to me. You need it too. He is the wonderful counselor, prophesied in Isaiah, that has come to guide us on the road to heaven and the life eternal that only he can give. Jesus Christ, the Word sent from God. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. And I trust this Christmas you'll come to experience the thrill of honoring him in the way that he needs to be honored. Let the truth and grace of God fill your life this Christmas. I trust you'll come into a new understanding of his love for you. Unworthy? Yes. But loved? Oh, yes, you're loved. You're loved. Jesus Christ, God's Word, sent from above. Shall we bow in prayer? Gracious Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time of year. There's so many things that are pressing in upon us, and we become so caught up in activity. And some people are going to miss the real meaning of Christmas. We need to pause and reflect and once again give thanks for who you are and for what you've done. And we are reminded from your word today just how much you love us. We don't really deserve it, but God, you love us, and it is your grace that goes beyond our faults and limitations and beckons to us to be a part of your heavenly family. So, God, I pray today for everybody here. If there even is one person who has kind of been on the fence, hasn't fully surrendered to you, I trust they'll do that. May they feel your love and your grace today. And may they come to understand the wealth that awaits them as they put their trust in you. There is so much you have to give. There is so much you have to bless us with. And so I pray they'll come to understand that and be grateful and thankful in their hearts for you, O God. Jesus, minister your life-giving force in us as the eternal Word of God. I pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to celebrate Christmas? I hope you are. I'm ready for it. And I look forward to it. Next Sunday morning, by the way, don't miss it, because we're going to have our Sunday school program. The kids are all excited. They've been working real hard. And you'll not want to miss it. Next Sunday morning is our special Christmas service. There won't be a lot of the other things that we perhaps normally do in the year, and Sunday morning is going to be just specially dedicated for that. And so you come. Don't miss it. It'll be a great time, and we'll look forward to seeing you then. Why don't you stand with me as we prepare to leave? Now, remember the announcements that we've made earlier today. They're having an event back there in the, what is it, some kind of a walk, cake, cookie walk or something? Okay. It's a fundraiser anyways back there for ministry, and it's back in the room there. Don't forget that. Don't forget the announcements of this evening also. And we'll look forward to seeing you. And I trust that you'll just enjoy the season. Like I said earlier, don't allow the pressure of the day to get to you. Keep a smile on your face, and things will work out. And I trust God is going to use this to bless your life and the life of someone else whose life you touch. Father, we thank you for your ministry here today, what we've heard, what we've learned. And on this Bible Sunday, we again thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us without instructions of how we should live and how we should bless your kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that we will be prepared to equip ourselves with your word to reach out to others and let them know of what the true meaning of Christmas is. And now may your blessing be upon us until we again gather in your name. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and have a great Lord's Day.